Okay, this is December 15th, and the topic this month is...
Can you bring yourself to see?
Good evening!
Good evening, again.
Yeah, one more. Anyway, we were talking about being gods and goddesses. If you can't bring yourself to realize that you are a god or a goddess, can you at least bring yourself to realize that you are creative, that you are creating your life? And you're creating your life with your mind, with your thinking, with your attitudes, with your beliefs. That's the whole concept of this teaching, that you are creating your life, that you are not a victim of any circumstances. You're not a victim of anything. You are victorious over everything in your life. So try to remember that and do that, because the world is not going to do it. You know, I've been turning that boob tube on, and they say the worst things on that television, and they will never tell you, of course, if you're a god or a goddess. They will tell you something else ridiculous. But they won't tell you that. The world is not going to tell you that. Brand name religions are not going to tell you that. If you knew that and you took that in, people would stop going to church. Of course, I understand that a lot of people are stopping going to church anyway in this day and age. But try to make yourself do that. So, you are truly a god or goddess. You are connected with this creative force in the universe, this force for good that is in the universe. You are one and the same thing. So bring yourself to that realization and stop listening to all the static that's out there and all the little lies that go on in the world. So many people still think, you know, I was talking at dinner tonight, my friend Doug the Baptist is going to make an appearance perhaps in California. Well, you know, Doug the Baptist, although he knows metaphysics, I've drug him to metaphysics and so forth, he still thinks that he's going to spend eternity in heaven. And he's going to have a higher station than most people because he suffered so here. So that means the more you suffer here, the better off you are in heaven. That's some kind of currency he has going on. He also absolutely believes that there's a place called hell and that people go to hell. Now, because he's a Baptist, he's not going to go because there's no Baptists in hell. Which reminds me of a little joke that I love. Show me four Baptists, and I'll show you a fifth. That's horrible.
You're going to hell.
I'm going to hell.
In a handbasket.
In a handbasket. And do you know why Baptists don't have sex standing up? May lead to dancing. So anyway, when Doug comes, you can tell him I told these things, if he shows up. So we're talking this month about bring yourself to see. Bring yourself to see what you want to see in the world, not what's out there. You have to make up your mind. This is what I want to see. This is who I want to be. And this is what I want going on. And it will do that for you. That's this mind of yours. That's that creative part of you. So use that. Especially use it up and coming in this new year. Otherwise, you're going to have the same year you had last year. Do you want 2015 to be like 2014? I don't think so. You want to change, and you have to give that up. I lived for 18 years in the land of Nod. And in the land of Nod, every Christmas turned out to be exactly the same. My father had a drinking habit. And he would drink and, of course, get drunk. And every year my mother would say, this is not going to happen next year. This is absolutely not going to happen next year. And it happened. It happened. If you want something not to happen the next year, you have to do something about it. Now, with my father, the thing, if you didn't want the same thing to happen, he'd have to give up drinking. He was not ready to give up drinking. So he didn't. So he just kept repeating the same thing. So if you want your life to change, look at what you're doing. Look at the habits that you have and see if you can change them. If you like them, keep them. But if they're hindering you in any way, stop doing that to yourself. You are the one that has to make up your mind to change, you see. Nothing is going to change unless you start inside of your own self, changing your attitudes about yourself and about the world that's out there. And you can do that. We can all do that. It's a wonderful thing when you realize that you are creative and that you can do this. And the freedom comes from the idea that you have this power. And you're the one that's creating your own life. Nothing else out there is doing that for you. You may think, oh, I'm influenced by this, that, the other thing. No, there are only circumstances on the outside of life. All life starts on the inside and moves to the outside. So what you're thinking about, you're always going to bring about. So in this new year, say to yourself, more and more financial freedom is coming to me. In the form of money, in the form of any financial thing that will bolster me, is now coming to me. Instead of, I have many friends say, oh, same old, same old. How is everything? Same old, same old. Isn't that a horrible thing to say? I don't talk to that person anymore. I really don't, because that's all I ever had to say. How are you? Oh, you know, the same old, same old. So he's creating the exact same thing. So in this new year, see what you're doing. Give up any of those ideas. Give up the idea that you cannot have money. Give up the idea that you cannot be happy, that you cannot be filled with joy and happiness and bliss. This is the time of year when we say peace on earth. But what we're really looking for is what? I think it's nice to have peace on earth. It would be a lovely thing if that could occur. But you have to have peace of mind in order to do that. In order to have peace on earth, you must have a peaceful mind. So you must watch the movements of your mind. You must become a witness to your own thinking and say to yourself, I don't like this type of thinking. I want something new in my life. When I do that and I want something new in my life, I not only watch my thoughts, I ask the universe to help me out. Change my thinking. Change the way I'm seeing things so that I can see things differently. And when I see things differently, things on the outside of life change. That's all this teaching also is about, the idea that you can change. We are never taught that. Very rarely, you know, we say, oh, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You certainly can. You don't have to. I don't care how old you are, how long you've been doing something, you can change if you want to change. It's that willingness. And you don't have to do it on your own. You can ask the universe. You can say, here's what I want. Here's what I want to see. Here's what I want to see in my life. Now, we have that saying, which is in Race Mind, I will believe it when I see it. You see, that does not work in this teaching. You cannot say to yourself, I'll believe it when I see it. You have to see it first. And then you will believe it, you see. Comes with your belief, comes with your visions, comes with seeing things differently. Then everything starts to change for you. And you can all do that. We can all do that. Especially this time of year, which is a fabulous, mystical, magical time of year. Use all these seasons to help broaden your consciousness, to help you see things differently. And you can do that. We are not stuck with it. I constantly hear in conversations, people have come to conclusions of who they are, and they have certainly come to a conclusion who other people are. That person always does this, always does that. That person's sloppy. That person forgets things. That, this, that, and the other thing. You're creating that with your mind. Hold that person in the highest of esteem. See that person doing what you want that person to do. That is not controlling, by the way. You'll get many people say, oh, well, you're controlling that. You can't. You cannot change people's minds, but you can. And you do that by changing your mind. When you change your mind and your attitude towards something or someone, that person changes. But if you hold that same attitude towards that person will remain there. This is the reason so many young men have no idea that their mother has seen them as doctors. And she's held that thought in her mind. And when he becomes a doctor, she says to him, I always knew you would. I always knew you would. See, we can help each other. We can help children. We can help ourselves. We can help other people. But we cannot look at that person and say, this is the way you are. You have to look at the person and say, this is the way I wish you to be. Filled with confidence, you see? Filled with peace and joy. Filled with all those wonderful things. And most times we just skip over people and say, oh, well, that's the way they are. They've always been that way and they're going to stay that way. This teaching tells you that you can change any moment. Every moment of your life is a new moment to create something. A new moment to create something. Now, you all know the expression, God makes all things new. So, you must remember that. God makes all things new. God does not redo things. Excuse me. God does not repair things. God makes all things new. You can do that too. Your mind makes all things new, but you have to train it to do that. You have to train yourself to believe that my mind is powerful. We're absolutely sometimes afraid of that because we don't think that we have the authority to do that. And we think somebody's going to say, who do you think you are? You cannot do that. You're saying, that's how I got thrown out of the Baptist church, because I told them I didn't think I sinned. And then they said, who do you think you are, Jesus? And I said, well, not exactly. But, no, they did. They asked me to leave the church. And I was delighted to leave the church. It was the most beautiful church in the whole wide world. It was a Peachtree Baptist church. And there was Al Kraft, I remember, was the minister's name. And he would get up to talk. And it was one of those churches, you know, where the pulpit is, where you can look down on everyone. You walk up a little flight of stairs so that they can watch everything you're doing. Well, he would give these sermons. They made absolutely no sense whatsoever. And no one was listening to him. They were holding hands. They were reading magazines. Doug the Baptist always did his checkbook, reconciled the checkbook during it. I thought, something's wrong here. Well, one day, Al gave a wonderful sermon, and after church, I went on the way out greeting. I said to him, that was a fabulous sermon. Why don't you do that more often? And he said to me, the congregation would never allow it. The congregation. People go to church. Why do they fill churches? You can fill the church. I can fill this room with more people if I tell you what you want to hear. If I tell you what you want to hear, I can fill this. It's all hogwash. But thank God the minister agrees with me. So that poor man couldn't. When you're a minister of a church, you're not free. The congregation tells you what to say, what to do, and what kind of a sermon they want to hear, because they're putting money in the collection plate. So the reason why I bring that up is to edify you that that's what happens in brand name churches. And ministers are afraid they'll lose their position. They'll lose their funding. And so, excuse me, they tell people what they want to hear. Now, I've also told you many times, I have said something, I can clear a room easily by saying things. And when I had the church in Knoxville, Tennessee, I made not the mistake, but I did. Somebody asked me something, I think. And I said to them, well, you know, the body has no physical causation of its own. Very hard for people to swallow. And of course, I said that in Tennessee, the Bible Belt, you know. Afterwards, a woman called me and she said, how dare you say something like that? My friend has arthritis or whatever she had, the girl. And you can't tell me she brought that on herself. I said, I didn't say she brought anything on herself. What I said was the body has no physical causation of its own. But let me ask you some questions about your friend. First of all, does she like her mother and father? No, she hates them. I said, how about her work? No, she hates her work. And I went on. Everything was, oh, she hates that. I said, well, no wonder her hands are like this. And her hands were like this. You know? And the point here is not only that the body has no physical causation. This girl was only in her 20s and was already riddled with what she called arthritis or whatever that stuff is. You see, you can't do that to yourself. You see. You can't do that to yourself. Well, I lost that group of people. They never came back. Which I didn't care. I didn't care. I'm not here on this plane of action to have everyone like me. I'm not here to fill a room. I don't want 6,000 people in a congregation. That's not what I'm after. What I'm after is the truth. What I try to do is tell you the truth. What I try to do is teach you to think differently. You see? This teaching never tells people what to think, you know. It only tells people how to think. It encourages you to think for yourself so that you don't fall for all this stuff that comes up and down the pike. So that you realize, I have a mind of my own. I can think these thoughts. I do not have to be like everybody else. And that's what this teaching is about. It's about being an individual, thinking for yourself. So I hope that that is sinking into yourself. You see, the world teaches you, you must be one thing or the other. You must be one thing or the other. Either you're this or you're that. This teaching has no this and that. You see, you can be anything you want to be. But the world tells you, oh no, you must either be this or you must be that. Fortunately, that is changing. People are realizing that they are no longer puppets of their conditioning. And Casey mentioned hypnosis. You know that all ads on television are hypnotic. All ads on television are designed to hypnotize you into buying something, to try to convince you to buy something, to tell you what, that you'll feel better if you buy this product. The biggest one, I think, is Coca-Cola, when it says, open a can of happiness. I think Coca-Cola, I used to drink Coca-Cola. After all, I lived in Atlanta, Georgia, the home of Coca-Cola. They all drank Coca-Cola in Georgia. Everyone. And that's all well and good. Coca-Cola tastes good. But it cannot bring you happiness. Nothing on the outside of life can bring you happiness. Nothing on the outside of life can bring you anything. People want money, and they say, "Ah, all this money, I'll be happy." Well, I know a lot of people with a lot of money, and I'm telling you, they are not happy. They are not happy. Nor do they know what life is all about. Do they know who they are or any of that stuff? But they're all hypnotized. They're all puppets of their conditioning, and they're following in lockstep with everybody else. You see, with everybody else. People get married. Why do people get married in this day and age? I haven't the faintest idea. It's not necessary anymore. None of that stuff that we used to think necessary, it's not necessary anymore. Marriage came in to this whole idea simply because of money. It was to take care of property, you see. Also, it was to keep a lot of people from being bastards. Otherwise, we'd have a lot of bastards and no one would know who would inherit anything, you see. But that's all gone now, so you have to think of that. So, anyway, back to making yourself see what you want to see. Can you bring yourself to see what you want to see? That is the little rub there. You must do that. You must see in your mind's eye what you want. And hold that. If you hold that in mind, anything you hold long enough in mind must manifest. It just must manifest itself. There is no other way. That is one of the immutable laws of the universe. And we keep forgetting that. This teaching is based on scientific laws. We can prove this teaching. You say, no one can prove if Jesus actually was born or not, you know. All that stuff was written down 500 years after the occurrence. Also, everyone nowadays is celebrating Christmas as Jesus' birthday. Jesus was born in the spring, people. The church changed that because it coincided with the pagan holiday, and they thought, well, if we are in competition with the pagans, we have to change that so we can get more people, more congregants in here. That the church, the early church, was more interested in numbers than anything else. How many people can we save? How many people can we get to believe what we believe? Now, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But you have to know what's going on. You have to be able to see that. I think this is a wonderful time of year. Doesn't bother me in the least. I don't care when this man called Jesus was born. I do not. That makes no difference whatsoever. Now, I'll bring that little point up here. In this teaching, metaphysics, we believe in everything that was, and we believe in everything that Jesus said, but very little that was said about him. Very little that was said about it, you see. The church filled in all those things now. I think I brought this up once before. This man, Jesus, did wonderful things, and his philosophy was great. It had to be. It wouldn't been around. It wouldn't still be around after 2,000 years. But you know, the life of Jesus is based on all we know about Jesus is 23 days. Read the Bible. There's only 23 days of Jesus in the Bible. And we base this whole religion on 23 days of a man's life. The church filled in all the rest. The church filled in all that. They filled in Mary and Mary's mother and all that hoorah. Does anyone know the name of Mary's mother? You should know. It's Catherine. Anne. Yeah. Anne was the mother. They had to go back and find that too. The church filled all that stuff in. Now, here again, nothing wrong with that, people. I'm not down on religion. I just don't participate in it. If it helps people, I'm all for it. But in my experience, what I have seen is it's done a lot of damage to people. And when I say a lot of damage, I mean mental anguish. Mental anguish. We are not here to suffer mentally about anything. We are here to have a peaceful mind. We are here to have a joyful mind. So remember those things. And when your mind starts to tell you anything but peace, you know that there's something wrong. You're off base somewhere. Because inherently, our mind is peaceful. It started out peaceful. And then, of course, we started to believe what the world was telling us. And we have to give that up. You see. The world is wonderful too, you see. But when I say the world, I mean all the worldly consciousness and all the idiotic stuff that is going on out there. I hear politicians on the television stand up and talk about God and that country is rotten and all. There's not such thing as a rotten country, you see. There's not such thing as rotten people. Now, there are such things as rotten politicians, and they're causing the whole damn thing. And you think they know what they're talking about. They have not an iota of what they're talking about. This whole thing of life is bringing yourself to see who you really are. That you are a child of the universe. That you are endowed with creativity. With creativity. And you can use that creativity. This thing called creativity is God working through you. Is God working through you. Astra's husband is an artist. He must know that God is working through it. Sue is an artist. She must know that God is working through her. She never even took a painting lesson. She never went to art school, but she does beautiful work. She taught herself. But when I say she taught herself, she allowed creativity to come through her. And that creativity is God. And you can allow creativity to come through you. This meeting and this whole city that we live in is creative. There's in Los Angeles, there's nothing but creativity. Nothing but creativity. So learn to use that creativity to your benefit. We have this wonderful power. Why don't we use it more often? Why don't we say, I can do that. I can create this. I can create my life the way I want my life to be. You see? So start with seeing first. Can you bring yourself to see what you want to see? Can you bring yourself to see the person you want to be or the person you want to become? You can do it. And you do that by giving up all those erroneous ideas that you have about yourself, giving up all the erroneous beliefs that you have. You say, we don't have to believe all that stuff. We've given up a great deal. Remember when you were a child, what did your mother say to you? Get out of that draft or you'll get a cold. Get out of that draft or you'll get a cold. They've proven that absolutely wrong. You know, you can stand in the draft all day long, you may get cold, but it doesn't mean you're going to get a cold. Doesn't mean. Also, wet feet. Don't get your feet wet, you'll get a cold. Now, they discovered in World War I that that was an out-and-out lie, because all those poor men had to stand for months in a trench with water. They didn't get colds. Of course, they had a lot of other things on their mind besides a cold. But we do that to ourselves. And these are the little things that we have to start to give up. All these little beliefs that we have. They're all made up. And they're made up by people that are left this plane of action hundreds of years ago. So, in this season and in this new year that's coming up, let yourself off the hook and say to yourself, I no longer believe that. And if you can't bring yourself not to believe something, investigate it. See if it's true. You know, we believe so many things, we never investigated to see if it was true or not. Here's the best one I have for you. Over 100 years ago, some doctor came up with the idea of temperature, that it had to be 98 points, whatever it's supposed to be. 100 years later, they did his mathematics and discovered he was wrong. But for over 100 years, no one ever looked at the mathematics and they said, well, he's a doctor and that he must be right, and that's what your temperature has to be. And that's absolutely wrong today. I could look that up for you, who that doctor was that did that. But they never checked the thing. I'm asking you to check things out for yourself. Check these things out. Don't swallow every damn thing that comes down the pike. You see? And that's what the world wants you to do. That's what that television set wants you to do with its advertisements and all. It wants you to believe everything that you see on that television. There it is, that's superior, that television. All that stuff that they tell you about your health and all that has to be absolutely true. Remember, they used to say, well, it must be true, it's in print. Now, was that not stupid? And people now say, well, I saw it on television, it must be true. They can't put something on television that's not true. But these people are nitwits, complete nitwits. I have a cousin. She thinks everything that she reads and sees is true. She's a nitwit. You know? Absolutely. You have to check things out for yourself. And you can do that, people. You can do it. There's no harm in that. I said earlier that we're afraid, I think, that somebody's going to think, oh, who does he think he is? That he thinks he's creative, or he thinks he's part of God, or God's part of him, or that God's working in as and through him. You're saying, if I said that in the land of Nod, those people would go crazy. My poor brother would probably throw me out of the house. I just don't bother with this, you know. I don't go there that often anyway. And they're lovely people. There's nothing wrong with those people. But they never think. And they also believe everything they learn from their parents. Oh, my God. Well, you know, that's what mother always told me that. But it's wrong. Doesn't matter. She told me, and now I'm going to believe it. And we have that today, don't we? We have that today. I was taking a walk the other day with my friend Ruth, and I said something about she has a roommate, and I said something about him, and she said to me, "Well, you know, he's turning into his mother." Now, how many people believe that they turn into their parents? You do turn into your parents if you don't wake up. If you don't wake up, you'll turn right into your parent. You'll look in the mirror and you'll see your parent. You have to wake up from all of this. And I'm not putting parents down. They did the very best they knew how to do. But you can't believe all that stuff that they taught you, you know? Some of it is absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. You have to become a witness to your thinking. You have to be able to say to yourself, is this true? Is this false? Or I don't know. You see, with those three questions, is it true, is it false, or I don't know, you're usually going to get, I don't know. I don't know. It's all right not to know. I'm not afraid. Years ago I thought, oh, I had to know everything or people think I'm stupid. I don't care anymore. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know that. I can look it up. I can investigate. You'll see. So most of the things, when you question them, is, I don't know. I really don't know. The same way, brand name churches. Let's use them for an example. They tell you what God is. Now, don't you think that's sort of pretentious? Absolutely. No one knows what God is. You see, I get glimpses. I get hints. I get little things. But I don't know what God is. You see, let alone do I know where God lives? I don't think so. I don't think so. You see? Up in heaven, you know. No. Think. It's always, keep your mind active and think. And I want to tell you, years ago, I wouldn't have been able to say that about God because I would have thought that God would punish me and a lightning bolt would have come down and gotten me. Absolutely. I would have thought that. Now, you know that's not true. God is not out to get you. And God is never going to punish you in any way, shape, or form, you see. Now, I tell you about my idea that I want to give up swearing. I'm not doing that for any pious reason. And I'm not doing that because I think God would be pleased with me. I know God is completely pleased with me. I also know that God does not know swear words. Only I know swear words, you see. God, this thing that we call God, the one thing I do know about this energy, this intelligence, this wisdom, this life, is that it's always for me. It is always for me. And it's always saying, go, Dallas, go. It's not against you. I can't do that. What would God think? God would think, oh, isn't that marvelous? You're trying something new and different. God is not going to do that and scold you. That was something your parents or the church, or when I took catechism, they probably taught me that in catechism, you see. Of course, I mean, I grew up in the Lutheran church, and I used to ask questions. I can't remember the question I asked. And the Sunday school teacher said, now, Dallas, you will learn that and know that after you finish catechism. Well, I finished catechism. I never knew. They never told me in catechism because, here again, that's just a bunch of rules and other people's ideas of what things are. You see? We thought that was a great thing, you know. I went to catechism. It's not a great thing. You don't have to go to catechism. You don't have to go to church. You have to know God. You have to personally know this thing called God. I think I have said this many times to you. Make God your best friend. Make this thing called God your best friend, you know. Call it Joe or Harry or Henry if you want. And say, what do you think about this? Can I do this? Can I do that? And pass it by this thing called God. And see what you get. See what answers you receive. You'll receive an answer, by the way. You don't talk to God and not receive answers, you see. You do not do that. Here's another little thing I remember. Just came through my mind. When people pray to God or talk to God, it's quite all right. You're normal. But when God talks to you, you're crazy. When God talks to you, you're crazy. Tell somebody, God talked to me. They'll have you thrown in an insane asylum before the day's done. Because they don't want to hear that. They can't do it. So they don't want to hear it. You have to be able to talk to this energy. There's no sense coming to these classes. There's no sense going to churches and so forth. If you haven't made God your friend, if you haven't figured out that God is useful and that you can use God, that's the one got me in trouble too. Because people think that God is mighty. But no one knows that God is useful. I'm telling you, God is not only mighty, God is very useful. Comes in handy all the time. God never fails you. You may fail God, but God never fails you. So bring yourself to be able to see that. Bring yourself to be able to see that. This is, I think, metaphysics for many people. They turn it into a little hobby. This is not a hobby. It's a complete change. It's a lifestyle. It's a philosophy that works. It's a philosophy that works. And each and every one of us can use this thing, and we can make it work for us. We can ask, you see. Remember those three things in the Bible? Ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will open. You have to knock. You have to do that. See. Anyone remember the story about the knocking on the door in the Bible? The man who needed bread and it was late at night. And he went to the neighbor's up, yelled down, go away, go away. And he just kept knocking and knocking. Finally, the man came down, opened the door, and gave him the bread. Now, the moral of that story is keep knocking, people. Keep on trucking till you get what you want. You see what we do, we give up. Somebody says, oh, go away. We put our tail between our legs and we go away. And says, I'm not going away. I'm sitting right here. I said I want this, but I'm going to get it. You see? You have to be that forceful. One of the best things, and I use it all the time, is be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. Be bold and mighty forces will come to your aid. Let this thing called God come to you. Let God come to you. God's not far off. I don't know, I'm on the Bible tonight for some reason. You'd have thought, oh, that was another thing I said in the church and got thrown out. Some woman came up to me and said, have you read the Bible? I said, no, but I've seen the movie. Oh. Did not go over big. Those people had no sense of humor. You use this thing called God, people. bring yourself to be able to see it. Don't make this a hobby. Make it your life. Make it your life because it is your life. You just haven't woken up to that yet. But it is your life. And once you do that, you will see that you're never bored, and you're certainly never alone. I feel so many people, and I've heard that this week, in fact, because of this holiday season, you don't want to be alone at Christmas time. I relish in it, being alone. I relish in it. I do not need somebody breathing beside me to realize that I'm alive or that I'm having fun, you see. And that's always amplified at this time of year. And that is why we have more suicides at this time of year than any other time of the year. People feel lonely. Why do they feel lonely? Because they have not invited this thing that we call God into their lives. You see? So invite this thing called God into your life. See it as life itself. See it as intelligence. See it as a wisdom. You see? You're not certainly not going to see it. Many people think, you know, it's an old man sitting somewhere on a cloud, and that old man's going to come down off the cloud and walk through your front door. That's not going to happen. Take my word for it, it is not going to happen. But what can happen is you can bring this creative power, this energy, this life, this wisdom, this intelligence into your life. Into your life. And you do that by asking, by seeking, by knocking. You see? When you draw near to God, God draws near to you. Think of that. Just ask. Just say, you don't have to believe. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to be raised this, that, the other things. Just try it as an experiment. Say, okay, God, I want you in my life. And this thing called God will come in to your life. I told you, it's 30 years ago or more, in a meditation, I felt something divine behind me, and I knew it was gorgeous. I never turned around, but I felt the hands on my shoulders. And that entity, or whatever that was, said to me, Dallas, Dallas, from now on, I am going to take care of you. Because I am better at it than you are. From now on, I am going to take care of you. Because I am better at it than you are. From that day, I never worried. And whenever I'm down, I do get down sometimes. And I do think sometimes limiting thoughts. I sit down and remind myself that I am being taken care of. And that this thing that's taking care of me knows how to do it much better than I. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you. Yay.